Minister Dave here to tell you about what is Bikram. Bikram, also known as the first fruits, is a tradition from long ago where people take the very first part of their crops they've grown and give them as an offering to God. It was an agricultural economy back then, so that was the financial offering. This was a way to say thank you to God for the amazing land and its food, and to remember that all things that are good come from God and not just our own work. It started back when the Israelites entered a new land filled with lots of food and were told to share the first and the best of what they grew. The meaning behind Bikram is all about gratitude and recognizing the role of something greater in the blessings of life. And that something greater is God. Celebrating Bikram today isn't done exactly the same way as it was done in the past, since most people aren't farmers and don't have their own crops. But the nature of Bikram is kept alive through different actions that reflect gratitude and sharing. Now let's talk about the timing of Bikram during the year. Now Bikram was the pilgrimage festival during which Jewish farmers would bring their first fruits of their harvest to the temple as an offering of gratitude to God for future provision. It's a gratitude to God for future provision. Bikram and Shavuot are directly related on the Jewish calendar. Bikram, the festival of first fruits, is observed on the holiday of Shavuot. Shavuot, also known as the Feast of Weeks, falls exactly 7 weeks or 50 days after the first day of Passover. Passover commemorates Exodus from Egypt. It follows earlier in the year, usually in March or April in the Gregorian calendar. Shavuot was also an agricultural festival marking the wheat harvest in the land of Israel. Jewish farmers would bring their first fruits to the temple in Jerusalem as offerings of gratitude to God. This aspect of the holiday is reflected in its alternative name, Chag HaBikram, Festival of the First Fruits. Now, Easter, a Christian holiday, is connected to the timing of Bikram and Shavuot in a few ways. Number one, the Passover connection. Easter is linked to Passover through the Last Supper, which Jesus celebrated with his disciples before his crucifixion. Passover, as mentioned, commemorates the Exodus from Egypt. The timing of Easter is determined in relation to the Jewish festival of Passover. Number two, the resurrection and first fruits. In Christian tradition, Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The timing of Easter is such that it often falls near the timing of the Jewish festival of Bikram, which marks the offering of the first fruits of the harvest. Now, Jesus' resurrection is seen metaphorically as the first fruits of the dead, linking Easter with the agricultural and religious themes of Bikram. Number three, the Pentecost connection. Shavuot, which falls 7 weeks after Passover, is also known as Pentecost in Christian faith. Pentecost in Christianity commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus, as described in the New Testament. This event occurred 50 days after Easter Sunday, linking Easter and Pentecost. Overall, the connections between Easter and the Jewish festivals of Passover, Bikram, and Shavuot are significantly highlighted, both the shared religious heritage and the theological themes of redemption, harvest, and spiritual renewal. Now we'll talk about the historical amounts of first fruits. The Talmud is a central text in rabbinic Judaism, serving as the primary source of Jewish religious law and theology. It is an important book for Jewish people because it has a lot of wise advice on different topics. One of these topics is about Bikram, or the first fruits offering. In the part of the Talmud called Mishnah Bikram 3:2, it talks about a special event where farmers from long ago in Israel would take their very first fruits of the harvest to the temple in Jerusalem. This event was a big deal because it was a way for the farmers to say thank you to God for all the things he gave them. Another part of the Talmud called Tractate Bikram in the Mishnah Bikram 1:3 says that the first fruits people gave had significance. They were worth about what someone would earn in about a week. That's 1/40th to 1/60th of a year. There are 52 weeks in a year, so it's about a week's harvest, or in today's language, a week's income. But that was the economics of thousands of years ago. Today, we just note an offering of your choice in your heart. Now, Bikram is not tithes. Bikram is not tithes. First fruits Bikram is separate and above and beyond traditional tithes and offerings. This does not substitute tithes and offerings. That is because, number one, tithes connects to obedience, offerings connects to character, Bikram connects to prophecy. The Bible has several scriptures that discusses tithes, offerings, and the concept of first fruits, Bikram, each with its own significance in terms of obedience, character, and prophecy. Number one, let's talk about tithes and obedience. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Number two, offerings and character. 2 Corinthians. "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Number three, Bikram and prophecy. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 2, where it says, "When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you have produced from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name." Now, these verses highlight that tithes are about obedience to God's command, reflecting trust and acknowledgement of his provisions. Offerings given over and above the tithes reflect the giver's character, showcasing generosity, gratitude, and a heart for God. And Bikram, or first fruits, represent the acknowledgement of God's provision and a prophetic act of trust in his continued faithfulness. By dedicating specific portions of income, produce, or labor in these distinct ways, believers demonstrate various aspects of their relationship with God, including obedience, generosity, and faith in his promises. Now let's talk about the ceremonial act of first fruits. The concept of first fruits in Deuteronomy is primarily found in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 11. This passage outlines the instructions for the Israelites to bring the first fruits of their soil to the place the Lord will choose as a dwelling for his name. It is a form of thanksgiving and acknowledgement of God's provision and the fulfillment of the promise of entering a land flowing with milk and honey. That's why it's a prophetic offering. Your harvest plants a great future. It's up to you how you plant your harvest. God will do his part. The offering of the first fruit is accompanied by a declaration and a prayer, recognizing the Lord's deliverance and provision. Now, if we talk about what prayer is, look at P-R-A-Y, pray. Praise, repent, ask, yield. Praise the Lord for all that he has done. Repent from your sins, ask for forgiveness, and yield to his will. Okay, and we've talked about that. Now we'll talk about Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 11 again. It outlines a celebration to follow concerning the offering of first fruits. Number one, it talks about bringing the first fruits. When the Israelites enter the land given to them by God and harvest its produce, they are to take the first fruits of their harvest to the place the Lord chooses as a dwelling for his name. You see, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, Deuteronomy. Now, number two, presenting the first fruits to the priest. The first fruits are to be put in a basket and taken to the priest in charge at that time. The family then declares to the priest that they have entered the land God swore to their ancestors to give them. That means the family acknowledges they are in place of provision. Remember, God provides. This is an acknowledgement of blessings received from God. Number three, placing the basket before the altar. The priest receives the basket and places it before the altar of the Lord. Remember, this is a prophetic offer. What you have now represents the provision for the future. Number four, declaration of faithfulness and thanksgiving. The family makes a declaration recounting the history of Jacob's descent into Egypt. We see that in Genesis chapter 46 through 50. The affliction and slavery of the Israelites in Egypt, that's Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 through 22. their cry to the Lord. That's in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. And God's miraculous deliverance, that's in Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 4 and 7. And I should say in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 17. And guidance to the land flowing with milk and honey, that's in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. This declaration is acknowledgement of God's faithfulness and provision to prepare for the future. Number 5, offering the first fruits to God. After making the declaration, the family bows down before the Lord in reverence, offering the first fruits of the land which the Lord has given. Now let's talk about what happens when the pastor's hands, when receiving the offering. When Pastor Jose and Prophet Meli at the Rainfire Church, for example, place their hands over the offering, it's like he is calling for God's special favor, protecting or to make the offering holy. This gesture shows that the offering is under God's care, protection, and blessing. Having a hand below the offering represents a support or foundation that God provides. The hand above is asking for God's favor, divine favor. So God's favor is represented by the hand above, while the hand below is ready to catch any blessings that come from the offering. Putting one hand above and one hand below is like completing a spiritual connection, linking God from above to the offering on the ground. And it came from the ground because it's from the harvest. This action represents the flow of blessings from God to the earth and then back to God, creating a full cycle of blessings. Now let's talk about the talit, the prayer shawl that the pastor will be wearing. The significance of the talit is deeply rooted in Jewish religious tradition and commandments found in the Torah, particularly in Numbers 15:8, 38 through 40 in Deuteronomy 22:12, which instruct the Israelites to make the fringes on the corner of their garments to remember and perform all of God's commandments and to be holy. The tzitzit, those are the fringes, serve as a physical reminder of God's commandments and presence. In a broader sense, wearing a talit can also symbolize wrapping oneself in prayer and devotion, serving as a physical representation of one's connection to God. It embodies a sense of tradition, continuity, and religious identity within the faith. Number 6, celebrating and sharing. The ritual concludes with the worshiper, along with the Levites and the foreigners residing among them, celebrating all good things the Lord has given them and their households. And again, that's in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 11. It's in the Bible, all of it. Chapter 26, verse 1 through 11 in the Bible. That's in Deuteronomy. This part of the passage in Deuteronomy emphasizes gratitude, remembrance, and I'll start again. This part of the passage in Deuteronomy emphasizes gratitude, remembrance of God's deliverance and blessings, and the importance of sharing and celebrating God's provisions with others, particularly with those who are less fortunate. Now, let's talk about our closing, where we'll talk about what this all means and how people feel. When people give a first fruit offering, they often feel really thankful and happy because they can give back. This act helps them feel closer to God, bringing them a lot of joy and peace. We believe that by giving to God, God will bless us and give us us more and prosper more. Remember, it's a prophetic offering. When we give our first fruits, which means we give some of our first earnings or harvest, we believe it leads to special blessings and more good things coming from God. This idea makes us feel really positive inside. We know that by giving in this way, we're showing thanks and trust in God. And in return, we expect that good things will happen to us, making our lives better. This kind of giving and the good feelings that come from expecting blessings makes the whole experience really special for us. When we give our first fruits, it brings us a deep feeling of happiness and calm. It's like when you give something special and feel really good inside. This happiness and peace comes from knowing we did something meaningful by giving the first part of what we have grown or earned. It's a way of saying thank you and showing trust, and it makes us feel really close and connected in a peaceful, joyful way. And now you know about First Fruits.